stories online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a loss of a friend is realized even before the news is shared. Also, a home video caught a glimpse of the unexplainable, and then the video is mysteriously erased. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Why is that always the case?
I think something doesn't want to be caught.
That's just so weird to me, because it seems like sometimes it seems like they want to be seen, they want to be caught, and then other times it's like, oh shit, you caught me, now all evidence must be erased. It probably really depends on what it is. It's like the blanket statement of shadow people.
Yeah, it's kind of like, okay, I want you to catch me, and then nobody's going to believe you because I erased your video.
It's our little secret.
Yeah, except we totally believe it happened, because it happens all the time.
Yeah, that is always the case, it seems. Or, you know, the phone gets lost or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Something seems to get in the way. It's almost Final Destination-y.
Yeah.
You know, we're not necessarily the person's getting killed, but it's just the device or the memory card or what have you is destroyed some way, shape, or form. So, all right, those stories today, Real Ghost Stories Online, 855-853-4802 is our toll-free number to call in and share your stories with us. You can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email the audio file of your story if you record it on your smart device to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get those stories to us, and we greatly appreciate it. If you like the show, tell a friend about it. Maybe do a little nice review there on the iTunes. That's what helps us grow in those ratings, more people finding us, and in turn, you get a better show every time we put one out. So show a little love if you enjoy this thing called Real Ghost Stories Online. We do appreciate that. Our first letter comes into us from Joe. It says, hi, Tony and Jenny. Love the show. Wanted to share a story that happened to me and the information I found out about it many years later from talking to my father. When I was about 15, we moved from New York City to an affluent Long Island suburb. I wasn't too thrilled with the move, but being a child, I didn't have much of a say. Even though I was in the middle child, I ended up with the largest of the bedrooms, the finished attic. It was a large room separated into two sections by the staircase, which came up through the center of the room. There were three light switches at the top of the stairs, one for each side of the room and the center switch for the light at the base of the stairwell. I made friends at my new school, and we'd hang out in my room a lot because we had a lot of room to hang out and could secretly smoke cigarettes by hanging out one of the windows. After a few months of living there, things began to get strange. My TV in my bedroom would turn itself on in the middle of the night, and I'd feel an extreme heaviness when I'd be in my room. My closet doors would be found open, and some of my things would go missing. I told my parents what was happening, but they told me I must be imagining things. Things progressed to the point where my friends were aware of the situation and also felt uncomfortable in my room. We'd go out. Before we could walk down my stairs, I'd say aloud, "I'm turning my lights off," only to reach the sidewalk and look up at my windows and see my lights were turned back on. As soon as my older sister moved out, I moved into her room. I wouldn't even bear to go back upstairs to move my stuff down into her room, so I'd run up the stairs, grab what I needed, and bolt back down as fast as I could. Fast forward to now, I was speaking with my dad about creepy places, and he told me, "You know, you were never alone in your old room at the old house, right?" I couldn't believe it. He had known. He said that he would see a shadow of someone walking around through the windows up there when they knew I wasn't home and hear footsteps in my room. I guess they thought if they ignored it, it would go away. Guess a middle child gets no respect. Thanks for listening.
How often does ignore it and it goes away ever work?
I don't think that really happens.
Not even with anything.
No. So that's, you didn't happen to have a house that had like the eye-shaped windows, did you? Or just connecting the dots. Oh, holy shit, I grew up in the Amityville house.
Yeah.
I could totally see that happening to someone who's just not very aware.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially if the parents, you know, really sheltered the kids to the point of not being aware. I mean, it'd be very difficult at this day and age to do such a thing. But never really telling the story of the house, never exposing them, and them somehow never being exposed to it by any of their friends saying, "Hey, by the way."
Oh, there's no way that kid would get away with not knowing. I mean, everybody is going to enlighten them. You realize where you're living, right?
The only way you could do that is if the child was homeschooled and never socially interacted with anyone outside of mom and dad.
And that's cause or haunting in itself.
That would cause a lot of problems right there by itself. But that'd be about it. It'd be like if your child was prisoner until they were 18. So they would never realize they were growing up in the Amityville house. But I don't know. At first, I was wondering, is this like a real story, or is this going to be like someone that's like retelling the Amityville story as them? But it's not. It sounds very real.
I think so.
I mean, there's a lot of hauntings in that area, but it did start out with affluent suburb of the Long Island. Like, okay, where is this going? And then we went out to the boathouse at 3 something in the morning every day, you know? But it was a good one. Thank you for sharing that. Pepper writes in, "I have a story about my mom after her heart attack. First of all, we were not related by blood, but she was like a mother to me, and I called her mom. She was over 80 and had a heart attack and was in the hospital. She's not doing well, and there was nothing more that could be done, so we knew we were losing her. She was pretty much out of it at this time. I was in the waiting room with her real daughters and grown grandchildren who were also like family to me. The nurses were suggesting only one person in the room at a time in the ICU. I was going down a long hall to go to her room and was trying not to cry, and I clearly heard her say to me, 'Suck it up, kid.' It was definitely her voice, and it was a phrase that she often used in a friendly, joking manner. I knew she was telling me to be strong, and hearing it made me smile. A few days later, Mom passed. About a week after she died, I was missing her so much. Then one night, I had a dream. She was walking hand in hand with her mother through a field of wildflowers. I also had known her mother before she passed, many years before. We called her Mimi. Mom smiled and told me she was fine and not to worry, that we really do go to a better place. I tried to get her to stay and talk some more since I missed her so, but she said they were going to a party, so they had to go. She said they celebrate the strangest things here. And they both smiled and went on their way. I woke up feeling at peace and not so bad anymore. I hope you and your listeners enjoyed my story, and maybe it will give some peace to others. I have many more stories to share, but none quite as poignant as this one. Thank you, Pepper in Oklahoma."
I think sometimes the paranormal activity begins even before the person has passed. If they're like in a coma or somehow sedated, but the end is very near. I almost think like this, messages can be given even before they're actually gone.
It's almost like it's the beginning of like an out-of-body type experience or something of that nature for that person, and the messages begin, and then eventually they pass.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. I think that happens quite often, especially like in those cases, person's in a coma, the person's brain dead. They're not there anymore if they're having no function whatsoever. You know, very likely, hopefully, they've already moved onto something else. Thank you for that story. Anonymous says, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. Thank you for reading my coffeehouse story on EPP episode 51. I'm still trying to catch up, so I haven't listened to that episode yet. In the meantime, I'm writing in another story. I wish to exclude the name of the town for the privacy of the family and the memory of a good friend. I was in sixth grade that year, and being the awkward nerd that I am, it was hard to make friends, but I somehow became very close to these two girls, technically just one of them, who were in the seventh grade. We'd meet up every morning and after school before being picked up. I soon found out that one of the girls, the one I was closer to, was dating my older cousin, and he was a lot older than us. I believe he was graduating from high school that year. I don't know too much about what happened between them, but I did know that her father didn't approve of him and his family. His father was an abusive alcoholic, and her father was probably looking out for his daughter's best interests. Jumping to when the event took place, it was Easter holiday break. I don't know how long the break was, but it was at least a couple of days. As I was sick in bed with pneumonia and bronchitis, so sick in fact, my temperature was over 100 most of the time. I remember that I started hallucinating. There were big cats all over the room, some as big as humans, talking amongst themselves as I tried to sleep off my sickness. I was a smart kid, so I knew this hallucination was from my uncontrollable temperature. I didn't think too much of it. Plus, when I get sick, I have crazy dreams. My room was very dark. I closed all the blinds because the light gave me massive headaches. Then I saw my friend in my room, the one dating my older cousin. She seemed distraught. Her hair was a mess, covering her face and her hands spread out. I found this to be very awkward, as her long black hair was always neatly kept. I probably only saw her for a couple of seconds before I turned my back to it, thinking that I was actually losing it. Needless to say, I couldn't get the image out of my head. In fact, it scared me greatly. My family was leaving to the park to hide eggs for an egg hunt, and even though I was really sick, I decided I was too scared to stay in the house alone. It was a cold Easter weekend, and I was in the car with the heat up, watching the younger kids run around searching for eggs. Even though I really enjoyed watching kids doing a poor job hunting for eggs, I was glad when it was over, because I was too cold in the car. On our drive back, I was sitting in front when my sister told my mom, who was in the back, that there was a recent suicide nearby our house. She said it was a girl that was dating our cousin. My stomach dropped. Did I just recently see her in a dream? I was so highly dosed on drugs, it could have been anything. I couldn't say anything. I sat quietly listening to my sister tell my mom what happened. Apparently, this is not the only girl to have a suicide in their family. This has been happening for generations. We lose a girl every generation to suicide because of a curse in the family. She left a suicide note saying she didn't want to do this, but she had no other choice. In our small town, there were rumors for years, and whether her family's disapproval for her boyfriend drove her to suicide or was it the family's curse? I cannot bring myself to go to her funeral. So to this day, my last image of her was the one I had amidst my fever on that cold Easter weekend.
I think sometimes when you have a fever or an illness and you have that altered state of hallucination, you know, you can see things and people just write it off as simply a hallucination, but that altered state kind of opens you up to other things. And there's a lot of religions that actually practice getting into an altered state to have some kind of connection with the other world. So, you know, yeah, it could be because of the fever that you saw her, but the fact that you saw somebody and she looked probably the way she did when she was found dead, you know, there's more than a coincidence there.
That's interesting because you'd think if it was just a hallucination, it would have been the appearance of how she normally looks, or at least somewhat like how she normally looks. Yeah, that's very odd how that all plays out. Have you ever hallucinated? Ever?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I've never had a fever that high or, you know, any, even with having kids, any pain medication that made me do that. So I'm not aware that I did.
I'm not aware that I ever have either. I mean, I've had high fevers. You know, I've had fevers in the hundreds, not for, I think, days on end. I think it's always been somewhat controlled. You know, But I've never really been on any. I've never had any sort of real massive pain medication or anything like that either in my life, or been hospitalized for any reason. So it's an interesting concept to me because I have no bearings on what that would be like. I guess the only thing I can compare it to is seeing like the mirage down the road of the water, but things being much closer and much more interactive. Where it looks like it's really there, but it's not, and you don't realize it. The only thing I can ever say I had once was when I drank a ton of water one day, and then I was trying to read the computer screen in front of me, and all the letters were like in the wrong order.
Yeah.
But everything looked right. I mean, it did not look. Then I thought there was something wrong with the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason that I was triggered that there was something wrong with the way I was interpreting it is I picked up the newspaper then, and the letters on the newspaper were in the wrong, the headlines.
You weren't processing the right way.
Correct. I couldn't read them. I thought I was having a stroke. Mm-hmm. But then I read about more of it, and it was like, oh, well, if you drink a ton of water, which I just recently had done,
mm-hmm.
I just downed a huge bottle of water, and that can affect you pretty negatively.
Mm-hmm.
And it can, like, mess with that part of your brain. It could potentially kill you. You can drown yourself doing that if you do too much of it. But I guess I was, like, on the, not the cusp of drowning, but enough where it was messing with the neurons firing back and forth. And then I calmed down and I was good and I never had it again. But it was weird. I mean, I was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
You know, it was scary because it looked plain as day as if the letters were in the right places. If I really looked closely, I could see them correctly if I spelled them out in order. But if I just tried to read it, mm-hmm. nothing made sense.
Hmm.
So I don't know. Interesting. Alex writes, hello, Tony and Jenny. I love the show. Gets me through my boring days at work and always makes me think of all the weird paranormal things I've experienced. I've got many stories to share, but for now, I'll just share one. Some background info on my home before we start. When I was little, my mom moved my brother and I out of my dad's and in with my grandma, my mom's childhood home. I've always been told the house was haunted by my dad and uncle. Experienced weird things, such as TV being on while unplugged and hearing a blow dryer turning off and on while unplugged and put away in a drawer when they were young. I thought it was creepy and kind of pushed it aside until I started to experience these things for myself. No one ever believes my stories, especially my friends. Well, one night my friend thought it'd be a great idea to bring over a video camera and try to catch something on tape. I have a back room in my house where we have our computer that has a plastic sliding door that divides the room from a set of 5 to 6 stairs that leads to the attic door and a door that leads to the backyard. I've experienced the most things in this area of the house and decided this would be the perfect spot to film. We began filming by opening the door and walking up the small set of steps. My friend was in front of me with the camera and I was right behind. He gets halfway up and films every angle he can in a left to the right slow sweeping motion. Nothing odd happened, so we walked back down to the bottom of the stairs and watched the video. Nothing in the video was weird or off at all. But after we watched the short video he took, I looked back up the stairs and the attic door was wide open. In the video, moments before, the attic door was shut. This attic door does lock and it's always locked. There isn't any way that door could have been opened without us hearing it open. We went back up and shut the locked door and left the filming alone for the rest of the night. Next day, we went to watch the video again and it had been deleted off the camera. What do you guys think? Sorry for the length of the story. I've got many more stories to share. Thanks for taking the time to read this and hopefully it makes its way onto an episode. Keep up the good work.
I think something got caught, kind of like we were saying before we mm-hmm. started telling stories, that something got caught, didn't want any evidence, and went back and erased the video.
How much control do you think it has of erasing a video? Like, obviously, they were in the atmosphere in which this happened, and then it got erased. But say they were to take that tape or memory card, whatever they were using, and got it the hell out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Would it still have the power to erase it, or is it just, if you're still in its domain, that's when it can do it?
I don't know about once you leave its domain, but, you know, with all the different energy levels and, you know, almost a magnetic type effect that sometimes go along with paranormal activity, I think that it wouldn't be hard at all for it to zap it. And, you know, my frame of reference goes back to the time I was holding a camera shooting you
mm-hmm.
and something was messing with me, and we go back and look at the video and it cut out at that point.
Yeah, it affected the video.
Right. And so I don't think it would be real hard because that, I'm sure, was not even the goal of that ghost. It was just a byproduct of what happened.
Yeah, I mean, it's like if you're walking around, with a large magnetic gun,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's, you know, you're using it to, your intent is simply just to go over there and do something with it with your project that you're working on. But You don't realize that you happen to walk by three computer screens and old speakers and you fry all of them as you go.
Mm-hmm.
It just happens because that's what it is. We used to have at a radio station to erase large reels. It was a big magnetic type gun thing.
Sure.
And it was just basically a bulk eraser.
Mm-hmm.
And you just rub it over the big reel to reel and bam, fresh reel. You can reuse it and you're good to go. You do it for cassette tapes, all sorts of things. Just mm-hmm. instantly erase anything. Also, if you were to take it to a computer or what mm-hmm. have you, you'd also fry that as well.
Right.
I mean, it was very thick. I mean, it could just, you could almost feel like, like, am I really safe around this thing?
Mm-hmm.
Just the waves coming off of it. Lucy writes in, hi, both of you are great. I'm from the UK and I've recently found your podcast and haven't stopped listening. This is only a short but strange occurrence that is not scary, but I've never been able to get it out of my mind since. Okay, so I'm going to have to fill you in a little bit of background first, then go back to the story. My granddad passed away on the 12th of October 2009 in the morning quite suddenly, about a month before my birthday. Even though from the things he did up until the day before he died, I still personally think he knew something. But my mom, being my mom, didn't want to tell me until I'd finished work that evening to make sure I didn't miss a shift at work. Strange, I know. Never really understood why, even though she told me that she just didn't want me to miss work. I was devastated as I was close to my granddad. My other granddad passed away years before, and I can remember very little about him. I lived away from home at this point, and I was out in the garden hanging out, washing about 2 days after his death, and out of nowhere, a white feather floated down and landed on my hand and just stayed there like it was glued on. After looking around the garden and checking the air, I couldn't find a bird or anything that might have caused this one feather to appear. I'm not sensitive, as far as I know, but I vaguely remember a story about white feathers meaning an angel is watching over you, and text my mom and my nan to let them know what happened, and I still have the feather in a small box. The second thing that happened a month later, the night before my birthday. I'm a lucid dreamer. Anyway, I always have been, but this one particular night really sticks out because it seems so out of context at the time. I remember having one of my lucid dreams. No idea what it was about, as I have a different one every night. And all of a sudden, my granddad's voice comes through loud and clear. Happy birthday, Lucy. I love you. I remember thinking in my dream that it was weird and went back to dreaming. The next morning, I remember waking up and remembering clearly my granddad's voice and what he said, but nothing else about the dream. I'm aware that this might have been a dream, but like I said before, even in my dream, I just remember thinking that it was weird. I'm keen to hear what you guys think. Nothing else has ever happened to me apart from strange feelings like I'm being watched at my other nan's house where my first granddad passed away in the kitchen. And also, there are also stories of an old lady dying in my nan's room where my sister and I used to sleep when we stayed over. We never played upstairs as the feelings were just too strong. That's it, guys. Thank you for reading. As soon as I have more money, I'll become an EPP as I'm eager to see what lies beneath the surface. Take care and keep up the good work.
You know, I think we've had a few stories about white feathers just coming out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like in a house, there's no play boas around, there's no pet birds. It's not even, it just literally falls out of the air.
Yeah.
So I kind of think there's something to that.
I was going to say, especially house.
Yeah.
It's like, this is, I was going to say, on the outside, I could see, you know, it being something using existing birds,
mm-hmm.
you know, for delivering a message.
Sure.
You know, and I feel bad for that bird. It's like, why aren't such damn white feathers constantly being plucked off of me by the supernatural? But when you're in a house,
mm-hmm.
What the hell's going on there?
Sure.
So, I don't know. Very interesting story, and I agree. There's probably something to that. Mm-hmm. So, thank you for sharing. Keegan says, hi, Tony and Jenny. I recently started listening to your podcast through my girlfriend's recommendation. We usually listen to an episode or seven every night as part of our going to sleep routine. Anyway, I have a story of my own to share. I'm from Cape Town, South Africa. When I was younger, about a week after my grandmother passed away, I experienced a truly horrifying paranormal evening. I remember arguing with my mother one evening around my bedtime as I didn't want to go to sleep. I had a funny feeling that I'd never experienced before. Didn't feel like a normal bedtime to me. Felt very uneasy. Ultimately, I lost the battle and had to go to bed. I fell asleep fairly easily. However, during the night, I woke up to something or someone rubbing my forehead. I looked everywhere from my bed, but I couldn't see anything. All of a sudden, I heard a voice asking me to come with it. I can't remember what the voice sounded like, but I remember the words it spoke very clearly. By this time, I was petrified. Eyes wide open, I shook my head, making a no motion. Then all of a sudden, the bathroom door and the passageway closed with a loud and solid bang. I was trying to keep as still as possible in case something or someone was coming for me. I was wide awake, trying not to move, hiding underneath my blankets. After a while of complete silence and trying to be motionless, the back door in my room leading to the back garden banged, resulting in all my hats and caps falling off. They were hung up on nails on the inside of my door. That's when I decided to do my mental countdown to build up enough courage to run to my mother's room. I eventually bolted for her room, woke her up, and told her what had happened. She just told me to go back to sleep. After some convincing, she finally gave up and said I must get the fold-up mattress in a cupboard and make myself a bed in the floor. Lying there without blankets or pillows, cold, struggling to sleep and scared, I heard footsteps walking up and down the passage. I woke my mother and asked if she heard any of it, to which she replied, "No, go to sleep." After a few minutes, I heard Tupperware scraping across the kitchen floor. Woke my mother again, asking her the same question, which she replied, "No, I'm trying to sleep." And after moaning that I was cold, she got up, fetched my blanket and pillow, and fell asleep almost immediately. I still don't know who or what was there, but there was Tupperware on the floor of the kitchen that next morning, and my hats were on the floor. I've never been so scared in my life. My girlfriend is no stranger to the paranormal. Her story is about the witch house story in an EPP episode, and she urged me to share my story. Hopefully, it'll freak some people out as it did me. I enjoy listening to your show, and hopefully my story gets told. Love to hear your opinion on this.
A damn Tupperware ghost.
Tupperware ghosts, Tupperware ghosts. It's just, you know, if you don't burp the containers, this is the shit that happens. That's why they were always very, very clear on that at every Tupperware party. You ever go to a Tupperware party?
No, I've been to a Pampered Chef party, and I know it's different, but that's the only other kind of party I've really been to where they sell stuff.
It's not really a party when you're being sold to.
Yeah.
That's what I never understood. It's like, this is not truly a party. This is kind of bullshit. This is really not. You know, just because you're putting out chips and dippets doesn't mean it's a party.
Yeah.
But what do you think of the story?
You know, I think it's just a case of trying to manipulate anything it possibly can to get attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tupperware, curtains, anything.
Maybe it had an affinity for the Tupperware, though, too.
Could be.
There are some people who are crazy about Tupperware. You know, they're probably the generation that a lot of them are probably gone now.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when it was real, the craze, you know, statistically, some of those folks would still be around. But, you know, there's, you know, a lot of they're getting up there.
Sure.
So I could very easily see, you know, if that's the object you're passionate about, Tupperware is your thing. The haunted Tupperware. That's why you never buy secondhand Tupperware at a garage sale.
Okay.
That's it's like a Ouija board. You just don't do it. Let's go to a phone call at 855-853-4802. Hi.
Hi, this is Jose, and I'm from Corona, California. And when I was little, I used to live in El Salvador with my grandparents because my parents couldn't support me here in the United States. So when I was little, my grandparents had a huge house in El Salvador, and they had a huge backyard with a mango tree on it. They had acres. My grandpa used to grow sugar cane. Now, my voice is changing because just talking about this was a little disturbing for me when I was my age. I was about 4-6 years old, and so I remember every time that my grandma would let's go pray, you know, before we go to sleep, you know, and I would say no sometimes, I didn't want to, and, you know, as a kid, I didn't know what prayer was. I thought they just did it. So, you know, as a Hispanic, we would do these things, and, you know, that's how our culture is. I'm Catholic, but not as hardcore as my grandpa and my mom, how they are now. But when I was a kid, I used to go to sleep in this room, and this room was really, you know, that mine being the house is huge, and it doesn't, it's, the rooms are huge, and it's been built by my grandpa, so he just bought the land. So every time I would go to sleep, I would feel, and then I used to sleep right next to my sister too, same bed, you know, and we would go to sleep, and every time that I would go to sleep, something would push under the bed. I would feel it, you know, just, it's like, you know, when you're breathing, your stomach goes up and down, up and down. Same thing with the bed. And I would wake, and this was happening at midnight, 1 o'clock. I don't know. I would just feel that it would be late. So, yeah, and next day, wake up, and I would tell my sister, hey, did you feel that? She said, feel what? And I was like, somebody pushing under the bed. And she's like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And I was really in shock because I don't know if I would have gotten scared. I don't know if I wanted to just jump off the bed or anything. So then I would try really hard to sleep and ignore it. And this happened for a good going months. And she would never feel, then it got worse. Then I would feel my feet getting tickled or touched. And I would grab my feet and just kind of curled up. And I was scared. And then it was during the times that sometimes when I would go pray with my grandma, I would say no, and I would go to, she would send me to, all right, then go to sleep. So I would go to the room, and nobody was in that room. And I would just sit down and kind of try to go to sleep. And then they, my sister would follow after the prayer, but they wouldn't, she wouldn't feel anything, only just me. Now, there were some nights that I would say, okay, I'll stay here, because I was scared going to that room by myself. And even though I prayed that night, I was still getting haunted or pushed under the bed or my feet get touched. And then one night, it got really bad. Somebody grabbed my foot, and I ran out at that room. And I ran to my grandma, and I was like, Grandma, Grandma, somebody grabbed my leg. I can't sleep. And she's like, oh, you're just lying. Just go back to sleep. I was like, I can't. So I started crying because it was bad. And she's like, okay, just sleep here. And then later on, it was during that time that my mom then said, okay, you know, let's get the kids. So I came back to the U.S. I was over there for 4 years. Till this day, I don't know what it was. You know, I really don't know. But then after I left, years passed by. I heard a story that my uncle's daughter was hanging out in that same house, and apparently, you know, I don't know if you guys believe in this or not, but one of my uncles, a demon appeared to him in that room, not the same room, another room, and appeared in that room. And apparently, I don't know what the story was, but then later on it appeared. They did prayers and try to sanctify the house. And then after that, there was my other uncle, Tito, his daughter, and I found out too that her daughter was dragged throughout the floor to the back of the house. And one of my uncles, and I can't remember perfectly, but they went to grab her, and because the thing just kind of dragged her across the house. And then after that, I left, and I don't know what was to come, or, you know, now I'm here. And then little before that, I don't remember this, but I remember my half-sister, she was over there too. Not the sister that I was sleeping in the same bed with, but there was another half-sister on my mom's side. She said that when I was little, and I remember going to my great-great-grandma, I remember seeing her at the house, and she was still alive during the time that my grandma was alive. So I was 5 years old, my mom was here in the U.S., my grandma, I was living with her, so her mom was living too, and she was really old too, and I remember her perfectly. I can still picture her in my head in this image. And I remember seeing her there, and she was sick, and I remember just she was laying on bed, and I remember playing. She had her own house too, and I remember all the kids playing outside, and I perfectly remember playing with them. I still remember now. And I'm 29 years old now. And I remember watching her in her bed, like, you know, ready to die. And then she passed away. I'm sorry. And then a couple of days later, after the funeral, I went to visit her. Couple weeks went by. Mind being, this was before everything like that. My grandma, I remember we were playing. We used to go and grab needles, and then the needle and the thread, and we used to go back. Remember that field I said where the mango tree was? It was huge, that field. And we have to go through a barbed wire to get across. And then we used to take a needle and a thread, and then kind of thread flowers, daisies, all together, my sister, my brother, my cousins, mostly cousins. And we used to make, like, necklaces out of flowers. And this is what my sister told me. I just remember doing that, and then I still have, as proof, I have this cut in my leg since I was a kid. And apparently that one of my stepsisters saw me running with my other cousins from that field, saying that we just saw my grandma, my great grandma. And we just, I really don't remember. I just remember, when I cut myself on the barbed wires. You know those barbed wires that are double-sided? Well, my grandpa put one of those so coyotes or wolves don't get over that. And there's always something strange happening over that side of that barbed wire. Our chickens would go missing, eggs would go missing, just stuff like that. And my stepsister, she came, then later came to the U.S. and told me that one day that when I was a little kid, I was 5 years old, six. I ran from that field and was telling that we just saw our grandma. And, yeah, I don't know. I doubt that it was her that was haunting us or whatnot, but I think that she missed us or whatever. I don't know. What do you guys think? Let me know. And then I still have more stories, because throughout my life, I've always had paranormal stuff happen to me. Maybe I'll just save that story for another day. I still have one when I mess with a Ouija board and stuff like that. So let me know. This is the first time I share my story with you guys, and I heard you guys twice on Spotify. I found out about you guys' show on the radio. I'm listening to Spotify, and I saw it on there, and I decided to listen to some of the stories. Well, keep the great job, keep the great work, guys, and thank you for listening. And thank you, and I hope I can share some other stories that I've had in my couple of years living on this earth. Thank you. Bye.
There you go.
Okay, I think honestly it was not the great grandmother, because it sounds like there was something in the house before mm-hmm. that was bad, and I think it just, once she passed, it started mimicking her appearance, and because it seemed like anytime she showed up, something bad happened to somebody.
Sure, just to kind of, it was like a lure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh yes, I'm a delicious little fish. Come over here and eat me.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. It sounds kind of like a haunted family.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot that goes on there, and in him hinting at other stuff that goes on with, you know, the Ouija board story and other stuff. I guess my advice would be, if you already have kind of a lot of haunted stuff going on in your life and you don't like it, I wouldn't be trying to add more to it.
Yeah.
You know, by using a Ouija board or something of that nature. But good story. Thank you for calling in and sharing those experiences with us. Lots of folks listening to us on Spotify now, so welcome to all of our new listeners who have found us through that platform. If you like this thing, please let your friends know about us as well. You know, tweet about it, Facebook it, put links up so other folks can find us. That's what helps us grow this thing. This is a show that's primarily just funded by your guys' support and EPP support and letting other folks know about it. Our EPP program is the Extra Podcast People. That's where you hear people talk about being an EPP. $5 a month is all that costs. You get a bonus episode of the show every week and access to all of our bonus EPP episodes. Almost 100 of them for you now with our best stories on it. So if you like this, check that out, and you will not be disappointed. Let's go to Anna. Hi.
Hello, Tony and Jenny. This is Anna R. from Bakersfield. I submitted a story in the past regarding Pablo, our household ghost, that you guys read on one of your EPP episodes. You also aired my daughter's drawing of Pablo on a Seeing Ghost episode. That was pretty great to see and to hear the story. I'm calling in regards to your most recent YouTube episode titled Stuck on You, about the little girl that had night terrors and her parents had to run her limbs under cold water to get her to react. And also about going outside without being tall enough to reach the locks. That reminded me of stories that my sister and my mom tell me often. I would do the same thing. I would have horrible nightmares, and although they didn't have to get me to react the same way, I would still have terrible nightmares every single night, to the point where I was afraid to go to sleep. I would also do the same thing the little girl did, which was be able to get out the back door without being tall enough to unlock the door and end up in the backyard. It got to the point where my parents and my sister had to make sure that they were sleeping light so they can keep a listen out for me, and as soon as they would hear me get up from my bed, they'd have to run after me to catch me before I made it out the back door. Not certain why it was only the back door and the backyard, but evidently I did it quite often enough for them to account for it in their nightly routines. And I wanted to share with you a story that recently happened with my daughter and I. She was showering and she kept asking me to go into the bathroom with her because she was scared. And normally I say no, but she was very, very persistent about it. It's like she wouldn't let it go. So I walk in there, and she kept telling me that she doesn't like to be alone when she's showering because she can see shadows, and sometimes she thinks it's the cabinet or, you know, something else that's tall enough. However, she opens the door, and the second she opens the shower door, she's looking down, and she can see a set of feet standing right by the door, and she won't look up because she's afraid. And I tell her, well, you don't have to worry about that now because I'm here and they aren't going to do anything to you, and I'm going to tell them they need to leave. So, of course, I, you know, out loud so she can hear me, I ask them to leave and let them know they're not welcome. It's not okay for them to scare anybody in the house, and they have to go. It's just not okay. As I'm standing there, she says, well, can you do it to the cabinet because there's a face in the cabinet? And keep in mind, she's not open the shower door anymore. And I ask her which one, and she's like, right there. She's like, Mom, now it's standing next to you. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, it's just because your imagination's worked up. She's like, no, Mom, you know I can see them. I said, okay. So I say, you know what? You're upsetting my daughter. You need to leave right now. It's not okay. And then I start to get flustered because it's making me upset because she can see them and I cannot. And it's very difficult to be patient and understanding when I can normally feel them and hear them, but she can see them. And when I can't see them, it does make me a little frustrated. However, right in the midst of me saying that, I get goosebumps and the chills on the left side of my body, and the hair on my left arm starts to stand up. And my daughter says, Mom, I just feel so sad right now. I can't help it. Tell him to leave. I don't like that he has his arm on you. Tell him to leave. And I said, who? She's like, the little kid that always follows you around. He's standing right next to you, and he has his arm on your arm. I said, which arm? She's like, the left arm, the one right there by the window. He has his hand on your arm. Tell him to stop it. And he's making me feel really, really sad, and I don't like it. I feel like I have to cry. I said, don't get upset. You're getting really worked up over it. Just calm down. She's like, no, just looking at him makes me so sad, and I feel like I have to cry. Mom, I don't want to cry because I'm not sad. Tell him to leave. I don't like him touching you. You're my mommy. You're not his. He needs to leave, Mom. Make him go away. And I don't want to freak out because it's going to upset her, but before she even mentioned it, I did feel something, and I don't lead on to that. I don't want to make her any more flustered than she already is. So I once again say, you know, I'm not for you. This is my daughter. You can't be here. You need to leave. I'm sorry that you're sad. I'm sorry that you feel lonely, but you can't be here. You need to do whatever you need to do to move on, but you cannot be here. Eventually, after 10 minutes, I get her to calm down, and, you know, I stay with her for the remainder of her shower. You know, we go into the room and get ourselves all taken care of, and she explains to me that she wasn't able to see his face, but she can see the shadow of the child standing right next to me. And he comes to me, you know, about, I would say, about chest height, maybe a little bit shorter, and his arm was on my arm in a terms of hanging on, claiming that, you know, I belong to the child. And she was really upset. It was difficult for her to recall the experience, even though it was just moments ago, because it made her so upset, so sad. I know for a fact that there is a child running around, because in the past I submitted a story to you guys also about the child tapping my leg and running out of the room. I wasn't okay with that, but I eventually learned that this child follows me around everywhere, and that he is lost and sad, but he's in a state of confusion, doesn't realize that he no longer exists, in a sense. I'm supposed to be crossing him over, although I'm not certain as to how to exactly go about that. There's actually also a lady that roams in the hallway, in my hallway, back and forth, and she seems really sad also. So in theory, my grand scheme is to get them to pair up, since they're both kind of sad and lonely, and, you know, they can cross over together, and hey, two birds with one stone, in theory. However, that doesn't seem to be working out for me very well, but I digress. That's my story. I've submitted quite a few to you guys, so maybe in the future I can hear some more of those being aired. Thanks for listening. Hope to hear from you guys soon.
I think that's pretty awesome that she's considering that, okay, there's these two ghosts in my house and they're both pretty lonely. Maybe I can somehow, you know, set up a meetup for these two ghosts.
Sure.
And it makes you wonder, are they not interacting already because they're in the same space, or are they just on different planes as well from each other?
I don't know. I mean, that's always an interesting question, is do ghosts talk to other ghosts, mm-hmm. even if they're right next to each other? And that's, I think, very hard to know. I think it really depends on the type of what it is. And I think the different planes thing, I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think it's much more complex than that, but I think that's probably the easiest way of thinking about it.
Sure.
So I don't know. That's interesting, having the matchmaker type living.
Sure.
It's like, hey, you can have a buddy here, you know? It's that's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
That's one we don't really hear of all that often Mm-mm. on the show. Thank you for sharing that experience with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And that wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you all for submitting your stories. If you like our show, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP. Get almost 100 bonus episodes of the show, exclusive video content, and the satisfaction of knowing that your $5 a month is going to fund this thing and keep it alive. So if you like what you hear, $5 a month in the kitty, everybody does that, we keep this thing going. So check it out. Ghostpodcast.com is our EPP website. Ghostpodcast.com. Thank you for the support. If you already are an EPP, if not, check it out. You're going to love it. And thank you in advance for helping us do this thing. Ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brusky, I'm Tony Brusky. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.